What did you pick up recently within the cultural sphere, be it music or movie or fashion or design?
Travel is the way you learn the most about life, really. It's my favorite thing in the world is to travel and to meet, you know, different people, people who don't think like me and everything. Like, I think people have this fantasy of me, like, being the fashion girl doing everything, but I do much less than I used to when I was working fully in fashion. But yeah, when you get to travel with Gucci to sell and experience a show produced by Alex Nubetak in a beautiful temple with the craziest sound design and everything, like me, I'm extremely sensitive to experience more than the fashion or more than the club. I like an ambience. I think we share that also. Yeah. Just to be able to see so many people work together towards a goal, because you can never do anything alone. That's meaningful enough, I think, you know?
If you could spend a moment with some remarkable people and discover what their life sounds like, what would you ask? Welcome to Are We On Air? An audio encounter. I'm Armand Afey, and each episode will feature one conversation with an inspiring friend of mine who will share with us the soundtrack to their life. Bonjour, beautiful people, and welcome back to a very chic episode of Are We On Air? This week's guest is my dear friend, the Swiss Italo superstar DJ and fashion starling, that is Fiona Zanetti. Fiona and I got together in her beautiful apartment in Paris just before Are We On Air event this past June. And you might have seen Fiona pop up here and there at our events. Well, that's because she pretty much played at all of them. We first met, well, online through our friends Giorgia and Gilda from the Italian fashion label that is The Attico, which you might also recognize as we did an interview for this very show. I created a little soundtrack for The Attico a couple of years back, and that's when Fiona started stalking me, which led me to my first question to her, how she managed to convert from a talent manager to a full-time successful DJ slash fashion socialite. We covered everything from our fun gigs together to her design aesthetic and love of Japan to, of course, music. From Italo Disco to New Order, Sade and Frank Ocean, we got it all. And as always, if you haven't already, then do subscribe to our brand spanking new YouTube channel at Are We On Air. As this interview is on video, you get a private house tour of Fiona's chic Parisian apartment, books and records. So subscribe. What a tongue twister. But of course, it's also available as the podcast and the playlist, which are available on our Apple and Spotify channel. Bon, on y va. Fiona Zanetti, aka Fiona.
Hello.
Welcome to Are We On Air.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Finally.
Yes.
We've been trying to do this for a while.
Yeah. I'm glad we're making it happen.
And we're here in your beautiful apartment in Parigi.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thanks for having us.
No, thank you.
Definitely going to dig through some records and some books. Your good taste and everything and furniture. I can't wait to dig in. And I'm sure viewers would love to see too. But let's talk about music, shall we?
We shall.
It's the day before our little kiosk pop up in in the Jardin Tuileries again.
I'm so excited.
I know, me
too. It's going to be crazy, I think.
So by the time this comes out, it's probably weeks past.
Yeah, but you know.
The anticipation, the excitement. And then it's your third kiosk.
Yeah, it's my
third. It's your third one.
Yeah, the Berlin.
The Berlin one.
Yes. And last year we did, but I had to leave
early,
like from the gig
to
travel. And now I can enjoy the whole night. So I'm doing it for real.
Yeah.
I feel like it's 2.5 though.
Because
I didn't enjoy the other one. And the first one was shut down by police, do you remember?
But that I thought was great. Because you played already for an hour.
It was a moment. Yeah, yeah. It was at the end.
Yeah, it was at the end. I remember
Polizei was alive.
Yeah. Why don't we start how we met? Can I say it? You stalked me.
I stalked you. What happened? I can't remember, actually.
It was the pandemic.
Did I DM you?
Yeah. Something where you followed me. But it was...
I followed you. And you DM'd me.
Sure. Yeah. No, it's because I did the music, a playlist during the pandemic for The Attico.
Yes, I remember. My girlfriends, Giorgia and Gilda.
Exactly.
Yes.
Who were also on the show, if you haven't listened to that episode.
Yeah.
and then you start following me, and I was like, who's that? Of course, gorgeous, but also like cool. And then you start posting some music stuff. Okay, it's like legit music, you know? And that's how this conversation started. And yeah. then we became friends.
Yeah, for a couple of years now.
Yeah, it's 3-4 years. Oh my God.
Yeah, oh my God, it goes so fast. Yeah. It was at the beginning when I actually really started to take DJing like more seriously, not just as a hobby. So I remember I was super happy when you got interested in me. I was like, oh, someone legit is like, you know, validating me or something. So I was super happy about it, I remember.
Yeah, but even within such a short period, I hate to say it, I've seen it many times. I call it like social DJs, you know, doing their thing, and it's totally fine and good. And that's what I was saying the other day. I'm so proud of you. Like within such a short period, through a lot of practice, obviously your decks are here, so a lot of practice and try and error, how you actually solidified your skills. I mean, it's a never-ending process. Like, never same for ending. Me. I mean, I've been here for 20 years, and I look to people like Too Many DJs Tomorrow. I'm like, how do you do that?
Oh, then, definitely.
But why don't we start with a compliment right at the beginning? Like, well done. I'm proud
Thank
of you.
Thank you so much.
But before we get to what's happening today, let's start with your earliest significant musical memory that shaped you as an artist.
Let's do it in order. So my parents were collecting actually a lot of music. So I have really this memory of basically a library of CDs, you know, and cassettes. And I just remember that when the first iPod came out, my dad spent, I don't know, months digitalizing everything.
Oh, wow.
So it was really this activity we were doing, you know, like he was on the computer, you know, the very slow, and every CDs, everything we were like putting on the computer and listening to it and everything. So this was very strong for me, definitely. And then I think what happened, and also the way it was kind of selecting what he wanted and everything, is that my family, I mean, on my mom's side, comes from south of Italy, an area called Molise, which is just a little bit up from Puglia. And it's a very, very small village, you know, 1,000 people, like very, very humble. You know, like my grandparents were farmers, like it's very chill. But we used to go there every summer and drove there. So we drove for like 10, 12 hours from Switzerland, where I grew up, and we were making this ride. And our activity was basically my parents putting on CDs and making us guess who the artist was. Like, so it was basically this 10-hour game that we were playing every summer. Mm-hmm. And I think it shaped, you know, my taste a lot and my knowledge also of music. It really comes from my parents and those memories of, you know, like traveling in the car and everything. So.
What track do you remember? What shall we play?
So my dad was in love with Whitney Houston.
Oh, of course.
So my mom, I remember she used to tell me that story. Yes, we were at the concert, because they used to go to concert a lot as well. And oh yeah, we were at this concert and we were in the front of the stage. And on purpose, like she had this skirt, Whitney, and you know, she twirled and everyone could see her underwear. And my dad like almost fainted. And I remember like my mom talking about this, so... Definitely, I remember the Whitney Houston. They loved also like Kool & the Gang. Obviously, they also saw Michael Jackson, you know, like this tour he did. He came from in Lausanne, which is like not the biggest city in Switzerland. It's very small, but it's not even the biggest city in Switzerland. And he came there. And no, I just remember like it was really the icons, you know, but also a lot of Italian music, because of course that was also their story and their memories of being as teenagers that they met pretty young. So it was a lot of Italo. So yeah, everything in my childhood was really groovy, except maybe one or two exceptions. Like my mom, I remember she loved that song because it's actually, I think, a song that I heard in a boiler room, like not so long ago.
Yeah.
It's like, this is my mom's song. I was like, I couldn't
believe it. Well, you better play it tomorrow.
Yeah. So it's the Todd Terry remix.
Oh, yes, of course.
You know, Everything But the Girl.
Of course.
Yes.
I remember when it was the song.
No, but she was always listening to this. It was her favorite song. The train. Yes, she loved it so much.
Thank you. You're not gonna play this tomorrow.
Oh my god, I have for her. I have to.
Yeah.
You know, like it was pretty, like they weren't niche or whatever, you know, but a lot of very happy memory of music. Like we were going to a lot of concerts, like my dad would always take us, and yeah. So it was very happy memories with happy songs, you know.
So it's missing Todd Terry, right?
Yeah, exactly. And I miss you. And also Whitney, I think.
Which Whitney track?
But I think it was really the Wanna Dance With Somebody, that's, you know, like, I remember, because that song was when she lifted the skirt, so I just remember very clearly that.
So I'm going to play that tomorrow as well.
Also, my mom was obsessed with Madonna. She would tell me, you know, like she was such a provocative artist. Like she would tell me all the things she did. This music video, she put like black guys on the cross and And she loved it, my mom. Yeah. So I remember, I think it came all, I mean, I don't think I'm like the most provocative person, but I have this little wit, I guess, that I grew up with. And for sure that comes from a bit this rebellion that I saw in some artists as well. So yeah, Living on a Prayer, Madonna is definitely one that. Yeah,
so you must have heard that super long edit that Wolfram always plays.
Yeah, of course.
Shout out to Wolfram.
Shout out to Wolfram. Yes, which, you know, I love this edit too, but it's longer.
Yeah, so it's a very long
8 minutes.
It's like the anticipation and it drops. Yeah, people are like. But going from your parents to you,
yeah.
Who are you?
Who is
Fiona Zanetti in three tracks, three songs?
In three tracks?
To define who you are.
Oh my God. I mean, I have to. Hypnotic Tango, for sure.
Of course, you have a tattoo of that.
I have a tattoo of it. So it's a commitment.
It's a commitment.
It's a commitment for sure. Yeah, I think it was when I started, you know, like playing electronic music and DJing. At the beginning, when I was in LA, it was more hip-hop stuff. Because I was just, I didn't think about it. It was just what my friends wanted to hear at the birthday parties. It wasn't like I wanted a career out of it or anything.
Because you lived in LA for a while.
I lived in LA for 3 years, yes, when I was 20. So from 20 to 23.
Why did you choose LA?
So it was kind of like my first official job that brought me there. Like I was a talent manager and I worked with a girl who wanted to be a singer. So it's a good part of my story because it made me DJ this period of my life. Because I didn't have any friends.
Income,
that,
because the girl income. Didn't make any.
No. She paid me. She paid me. No. She was sweet and we had amazing memories together. Like, no. But not so many friends except for work, you know? Like, LA is very.
I know, very lonely.
Yeah,
very
it's very lonely. When you're 20 years old and you move out of Switzerland in a little village, like, can you imagine the shock? So, no, it was fun. Like, I had so much fun. Like, my first week, I think we were at the Justin Bieber's house party with, you know, the phone removed to sign the NDA. I was like, what the fuck is this city? Like, what's happening? But, yeah, I was kind of, okay, so I only have work-related friends and I would like to learn something new. I always collected music. I was doing, you know, when you used to do CDs for your friend, like I was the one doing this in my school. Like I was just giving the CDs. I was doing the music for the birthdays, the boom, as we say in French, like everything. So it's like, let me do something with all this music I have, you know? Just bought a controller and started a bit like this. but it was just a hobby for me. I didn't imagine myself like being also front stage, you know, like it wasn't really my personality so much. So yeah, so that happened.
That's Hypnotic Tango.
Hypnotic Tango, yeah, definitely my first. When I started going into electronic music more and trying to find a bit my identity, to have, you know, like go back to Italo and sounds.
I like the way you say Italo. Italo. Everyone says Italo, but it's Italo.
It's Italo. Come on. To go back to this core value of who I was and those core memories, you know, made me feel like I found myself a bit. So it was a moment where like, okay, like this is what I want to do. Like I love DJing so much. I love the music. This is what I want to do with my life. And this is who I am as a DJ. Like, you know, like this is my story. So Hypnotic Tango for me. Also, the name is amazing. The, you know, it's like the,
yeah.
best.
Hypnotic
Tango.
Hypnotic Tango. Tango.
I love this song so much. I would still play it. I would still, you know, like.
Like tomorrow.
I love it. Yeah, yeah. Tomorrow.
We're basically putting the playlist together.
But I'm playing with Perel, so Perel, you know, yeah. We need to find a common ground in our story.
Exactly.
Right? Yes. So Hypnotic Tango. Definitely, I mean, it's super cliche, but I think the first time I heard Blue Monday from New Order, it changed my life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those bass line, you know, like it was crazy. This sound made me. Also, it was something a bit vintagey because, you know, you learn about the wall in Berlin, like falling off at school and everything. And then for me, that was a bit, I imagined it was the sound that came after this. Anyway, it had something like cinematic for me, like magical a bit. So I remember the first time I heard this, I was like, what is happening in my head, you know? Then a third one, as you might know, because you're my friend, but people maybe don't know. Like I have a big love story with Japan in Tokyo. Uh-huh. So I would choose Plastic Love by Maria Takeuchi. I hope I'm not butchering that too much, but sorry if I did. When I went to Tokyo for the first time, this is also where I kind of fell in love with my now boyfriend, Tom.
You met in Tokyo?
We were friends before, like almost best friend, but we were dating other people. And then I was blocked actually in Paris because of my visa to the US. I had to stay, like they had my passport. I don't know, I had to stay for months, but I didn't really want to stay. I could work, you know, like I was working from home or whatever. And I arrived in Paris and it was like, oh, I'm actually going to Tokyo by myself next week. Do you want to come with me? And I was like, absolutely, you know. And then, you know, for us, I mean, it was life changing for me going to Tokyo. Like, it changed my perception on everything, that the way I also do things in my life, the way I collect, the way I appreciate and take time to do things in a certain way. It inspired me a lot. And also I fell in love there. I fell in love with the city. Like, it was a lot of love. And I remember that then I was digging for a lot of Japanese songs. This one is very popular, but it reminded me of that time. So yeah, it's a part of me.
I had the same, well, I didn't fall in love in Tokyo, but I fell in love with Tokyo, but also I went.
That's already good.
It was one of the best gigs I've ever had in my life, but it was 48
hours. You played there?
Yeah.
Yeah?
It was for Calvin Klein a couple of years ago. Shout out to Rob Manley. I was with Nina Kravitz, James Murphy, Jamie XX, Hito, and me. I mean, I was like, why am I published line all over? Oh my God. And it was like three tiny bars that were connected. It was amazing. It was incredible. But I missed my flight on my way there from LA. So I missed already a day and a half.
Oh,
so
my God.
I had like basically 48 hours. Mm. So I arrive, the gig, hangover. The day after, I've got 6 hours before the show starts. And I was going through all the record stores I had to hit.
Yeah.
You know, there's some incredible, like, niche. And like jazz basement.
Oh,
I was like old
God.
Grandfather in there, like $7,000 for a record. Like, you know, like insanity.
Insane stuff.
Yeah. And then go to a couple of listening bars after and then had to fly the day after. But I had those couple of those records that they just, until this day,
they're here.
I think actually, because for tomorrow, we did t-shirts again that I'm throwing to the crowd.
Yeah.
But it's a playlist. It's the first compilation now. Are we in a compilation?
With
the Paris edition.
Nice.
But it's like a QR code connected as well. Like, that's the modern way, I think, is the. But there are a couple of those Japanese tracks in there.
Of course. So
there you go.
They're good. And also, even you find things about your French producers that you didn't even know exist there.
Yeah.
And the record is actually known there. You know, it's like they have just the best way of collecting. I think it goes beyond there.
I mean, the attention to detail, of course, in Japanese culture and the way if they take a subject, doesn't matter what it is, they become the best in it in the world. I mean, they changed
the
game with cars, with Toyota in the 70s. Mm. But Moody Man was saying that as well. He's like,
great person to be compared
Shout out to Moody Man.
Shout out to Moody Man.
Playing our kiosk in LA.
Like I have to authority.
Shout
out to Moody Man.
Yeah, but that's what he was saying as well. It's like wherever he travels, wherever he plays in the world, you know, he knows what kind of culture or crowd gives a certain energy back or knowledge of the music or of the culture.
Yeah.
He's like, in Japan, they know the music better than I do. Like, they sing the tracks to the words back to me. Like,
it's insane. You know, I heard about, my friend told me about this club that's, I think, I can't remember the city exactly, but it's very north of Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of the oldest nightclub of Japan. And basically, it's like super techno. But there's only like one CDJ.
Mm.
And so you play the song entirely.
Yes.
And then people clap.
Yeah.
And then you can play another one. And it's an actual club, you know, it's not like just a listening bar. People listen to your song,
Where
they clap.
That?
I will tell you. I think it's in, oh my God, Hokkaido.
Okay.
I will love find that, a way. Though.
But you can only do that in Japan.
I have to ask my friend Simone because he's the most nerdy person about Japan that I know. And we share a bit this. I mean, he's way crazier than me on that. But he always teach me thing about, you know.
I love that.
Yeah. So it's.
I need to go back now that the borders open. I think you were one of the first people who went back when the borders opened.
Then we received the message and we. Like okay, bad tickets for the week after. It was a priority also during all of COVID.
Yeah.
I think we're fantasizing about the day we can go back. Because since Tom and I are together, like every year was a tradition to go for like a long time. Sometimes we stayed a month. Like we wanted to feel like we lived there because we loved it so much. So we're fantasizing about going back. And when they announced it, like our money was already on the account. We already panel aside, like we knew we were going. And it was amazing. A lot of my friends also joined from different countries. I played there for the first time. So it was so great. I met so many people that also like were important to me, like inspiring to me. Like Kunishi Nomura was quite a figure there. Like we had the occasion to meet and everything. So it was, it was like a dream come true so to cool. go back and experience all that. I loved it. Yeah.
Well, another thing you love, of course, is the DJing part. And yes. As I mentioned early on, within my work and my experience, I've seen it, of course, this is pre-social media, like IT Girls who would play music at social events, fashion events.
Yeah, fashion after parties. And it was really like this.
Yeah, exactly. I would say, so did I. But,
not you have the authority to go.
So I'm sure you've been pigeonholed a lot, especially in the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
And I find it interesting because I remember last year when I put you on the lineup, I put Fiona Zanetti and you guys were offers, actually, can you switch it to Fiona? And I was like, well, interesting because your brand and the awareness, of course, is bigger with Zanetti.
Yeah.
But is the reason why you dropped your surname for music to really, it's Fiona the artist. Yeah. It's about the music. It's not the fashionista, social person that you know.
Yeah. I think also, yes, I wanted to definitely separate at the beginning. Mm. But with maturity and with, a little bit of time now, that I have to think about it. I was very, had imposter syndrome like crazy at the beginning.
I still
of
have.
Course. Yeah, yeah.
It's for sure.
I mean, when you end up on lineup with playing just before too many DJs, you have like, of course.
I still do.
Every week I have moments where I'm like, okay, let's pretend everything is fine. But I think at the beginning it was very, like I couldn't even say to someone I was DJing. If I met them and they were in music, I wouldn't say it. Like the first time I went to Circo Loco, one of my friends was dating one of the guys. I was with everyone. Like the first time I went, I was with, all the Antonio, like all the founders, all the people making it happen. And it's like a major event in the world.
Shout out to girls at the Attica again.
Yeah, exactly. And,
in Georgia.
But I could never say it. Like they found out after. Like because we spent an amazing night. It was super nice. Like we really became friends. But I didn't say anything.
Yeah.
And they're like, are you DJing? And I was like,
Sometimes.
Now I'm doing the radio show for them. Yeah. So, it came along with it.
So you're working your work to towards the Circo Loco ladder. So.
But I love them. They're doing, they created something exceptional, I think, in the world. And
I'm still waiting for my invitation, by the way.
Wait, we will go together this summer, no?
Let's play back to back. Hey, guys, we're here.
Let's party there first because it's very fun. Yeah. And then we shall see if one day that happened. But anyway, so I remember I was very not confident also about the whole thing because I guess I didn't have so much time to find my sound and, all those things is the problem. I mean, everyone thinks it's like, it gets you, of course, I got privilege from having already like a community. Mm-hmm. People, I didn't know how to beat match and people were coming to see me. Like it was crazy, of course I have privilege in that sense, but also everyone is like looking at what you do and judging it, but you're at the beginning of your career. Like who... so many people get judged about 6 months going into DJing. Like, of course, I was going to make mistake. I was going to do all this. But me, I do it in front of thousands and thousands. And already, people from the industry knowing who I am. So it was super embarrassing for me in a way, But
it's the best way to learn.
It's the best way to learn. It's hard, Like, it's a bit okay, but let's prove everyone that actually. And after a lot of work, and thinking going into this, now I'm really proud of who I am. I have a company, I run a company with Tom, I still work in fashion, but I also do this and I tour almost every weekend. And I want to be part of this generation who blur the lines, I think, between creative industries. And for me, music has, connection with so much more than just music industry. And I think it makes sense in certain area that things are the way they are. But I think fluidity in creative is the most beautiful thing that we can do right now
for
to evolve also as, So I'm proud of who I am now. So, you know, like I feel very good.
Where's the flag?
Where's the flag? This is me, bitch. But yeah, I still get, you know, like the comments, like I still get the misogynist, like I still get the, of course, if you see me playing next to fucking Aries Drew on her vinyl thing better than me on CDJs, of course, that's, she will be better. There's always going to be people better than
but
you.
But that stuff you just have to block out.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, you just do you and you evolve.
It
you
takes
know?
Time. You can't really, that process, you can't really rush.
No.
But I have to say, really, within such a short period, again, like amazing.
Thank you.
Like your body language, when I see just clips, I can tell the difference right away from when we start.
And yeah, I feel just more confident.
Yeah, for sure. I can see it.
Because my selection.
Yeah, I remember even when you came to the kiosk in Berlin, how you were excited, of course. It's Berlin.
So nervous.
And we're playing on the street in Berlin. How cool.
And it was so many people.
And so many people. Like, I think more people came the day after because that was the first time we did it ever.
Yeah.
So, which was mayhem. But the second day was like completely insane. Yeah. I remember because even looking back at the images now, I could see your body language.
Yeah.
You're still like a bit looking down and still, okay, just want to focus. Not you did any mistakes, but I could tell you were focused.
Because
that stuff, when you really start communicating with your eyes and the body with the crowd, comes after a while. Once you, it's like skiing.
And exactly. And now technically, I know that even if, like, but it happened to me, I played in Mexico 2 months ago or something. And I was so sick. Like, I think I had like, I don't know. Ate something wrong or drink something wrong. I don't know.
You drank something.
I was feeling, drank something wrong. Knowing me before a gig, I was like, give me that espresso martini. And I was so sick. Like, my belly hurt so much. I was running back and forth the bathroom before my gig. But like I knew that technically I could still handle it. And this is something, kind of new, because it's only the second summer I'm really like playing gigs festival, you know, like because COVID.
Yeah.
So I started like, 4 years ago, but 2 years of COVID. So it was kind of bad.
You practice here.
Yeah, I practice at a gig. I practice here. And now I'm really confident with my technique also, you know, which makes things easier so I can play more with like the people. I can be more attentive of do they like this or not. I can be a better DJ, basically.
Yeah, of course.
Technique is, you know, you have to.
Technicality is one thing. For me, it's really the curation of a mood. It's always been like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always been blurring the lines between different worlds. That's what I was interested in. I was never interested just in the nightlife.
Yeah,
I was never interested just in fashion or just in art.
Yeah.
Like, oh, just the hotel world. For me, it's like mixing those things together.
Yeah.
That's when it becomes interesting.
Exactly.
To me.
Exactly. And that's also where I'm doing.
So we have every week somebody else on the show from all different worlds.
Yes.
From all the gigs that you've played so far, what was the one gig that really stuck with you? Did you think it will stay with you forever? I was like, whoa.
Oh my God.
And what was playing?
This is so hard to say. Wait, let me think about it. I had amazing moments. You know, one amazing moment. It's going to be weird because this is also when my body language wasn't that good. And I think I was the most stressed ever. But it was actually my first Angar show. So Angar.
Shout out to Angar. Producing the show tomorrow.
Yes.
Is recording this interview right now.
And also my agents now.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Maureen is my agent, actually.
Oh, wow. Hi, Maureen.
I have an amazing story with them. Because basically, the first festival I ever played in my life was my cousin festival, which is Polaris in Switzerland.
Really?
It's my cousin, Mirko Loco.
Mirko Loco, hello.
Shout out to Mirko, Mirko Loco.
Where's my invitation?
So Polaris is this festival and he did a summer version during COVID.
Mirko Loco is the cousin of Circo Loco?
No. Babe. He played though. I think he told me he played a couple years back. But so anyways, I played the Solaris and it was the nightmare of every DJ. So basically, it was a storm so bad that they had to change location. So now it wasn't the festival location. It was like basically the terrace of a restaurant, like terrible, like raining in the middle of the mountain in August. The mixer was a rotary. Do you imagine that I learned to play on like a little whatever, like at home with my computer and the kind of first gig I have is like on a Rotary. So this is me on YouTube shaking videos of how does the Rotary works like 5 minutes before going on stage. And
for
actually,
listeners, Rotary makes it, is it yeah. So the standard is, I would say, like a Pioneer DJM,
yeah,
like over here,
DJM.
Or Alan Heath, which is basically you push the channels in with a, like a fader,
yes.
Like with a channel, basically. I don't know how to explain that. It goes in.
Yeah.
So you can go up and down or left and right.
Yeah.
A rotary is basically knobs that you twist.
Yeah.
So you bring in the channel in by twisting. It's a completely different way of mixing.
Of mixing.
Not that it's worse or difficult. It's like actually how it used to be, like disco
yeah,
and house.
Yeah. And
like,
amazing if you,
amazing
disco,
if you can do it right. I mean,
Ferrari
our
yeah,
club
love.
At the Chateau, I put a Bozak
exactly.
Rotary mix
no,
in.
No,
like,
no,
you know, it's a whole thing.
Gorgeous yeah. if you know how to use
yeah.
it. Gorgeous.
It's beautiful, you know? But it takes a skill.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it takes practice. Yeah.
It takes practice. So this is me at 20, 24, 25, first festival of my life on a Rotary, you know. But it was raining so much. Basically, I think it was a grand total of 40 people, 20 of them my friends. And the 20 other, some guys from Belgium, like just wanted to have fun, you know. And this is how I met Marvin. And then, like, honestly, it was so good. We had so much fun. I played at the after party. They were telling me, like, we do some events in Belgium. Little did I know it was, like, one of the best events in Belgium ever. And the most incredible production and best people ever. And, yeah, we became friends and... You know, I didn't have an agent, so they were like, we don't really do this, but let's do it together because, you know, we're close friends. So I became a resident with them and then we did this. So my first event with them was this amazing location in, because you asked me for one of mm-hmm. the most memorable.
Yeah, yeah.
I will remember this one of my
yes,
life.
Yes,
I will.
Yes, yeah.
So this is 4,000 people, me playing max of 200,
yeah,
let's say,
yeah,
in
yeah.
my life, you know. And Folamour has a second gig that he has to go to, so he switched the lineup. And this is me playing between Folamour and I think it was Sun Proper, but
a
very good DJ
yeah,
too,
yeah.
you know. And I was terrified. I was terrified. Like, I was so terrified. But this is how I developed a trick in my head also
yeah.
before I get to when I'm, like, super stressed. Anyways, I do some self-talk to myself and it kind of work, you know. Self-confidence talk. Like, you can do this, bitch. No, no, no.
Yeah.
And it was amazing, actually. You know, I had people DMing me, like, that this was the best set of their summer. Like, I had so much fun, actually. And it just put me on another level mentally also of like things I can do and things I can handle, I think. And that's why maybe it went fast also after this. Because when you get an opportunity like this, then you're a bit more confident,
yeah,
a bit
yeah.
more, okay, I want to reach for this.
More,
like,
more,
I did
faster.
This. Like,
yeah,
I mean,
yeah, yeah, yeah,
of
yeah,
course,
yeah.
I mean, kind of sad,
yeah,
but
yeah.
you know, that.
That's how it goes. No,
the economy week.
No, but also, if you would have stopped or took a break,
yeah.
it would have taken you down
of
again
course,
again. Yeah,
of
you
course.
Needed to
so,
kind of...
But yeah, it was just... amazing, like gorgeous crowd, gorgeous location. I did for that the time that now if I listen back to the set, of course I'm like whatever.
That's why I don't upload stuff on Mixcloud because I'm like my music or my interests change on a daily, weekly basis.
You evolve.
Okay, and I'm like, oh, I could have done this better. That
yes.
you know, of course, most people don't hear it. It's your self criticism.
Yeah, 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 definitely. But I think, you know, people can critique you, but I think I'm the worst. I'm worse than them. When they say, you do this,
yeah, yeah.
I'm like, oh, don't worry. Like,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, this is what you have to say. Like,
but
I did
you know
worse,
what? I'm already
know?
Past that point, but at this point, I'm like, I don't care anymore.
Yeah,
I'm
yeah,
like,
yeah.
whatever.
Yeah, because, you know, you have nothing to prove.
Yeah, well, it's still, of course,
no.
for myself. But also, I'm like
yeah, for yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, I think, you know, everyone knows you as, like, also an industry.
Yeah.
You know, a statement, and you know, like you have an amazing career, you have amazing things on your CV. Like, you for me, you're like, you're good, you know.
I'm good.
I mean, of course, but you can grow,
yeah, yeah,
of course, you know. But I think you have little to prove to people, like, everyone knows, like, you're really good at what you do.
That's where the
this is the back
thank
of the one,
yeah,
for the one you give me,
yeah,
anyway.
But that's when the imposter syndrome kicks in,
yeah,
like,
I am, I know.
What did I do? Nothing.
But it's everyone, and you know, it's everyone. That's
of course.
Crazy thing.
I'm super chill with it. From all, because you travel so much, right? Mm. Like I was on the go. I mean, mm-hmm. From all your travels, because obviously from your DJ gigs, but also all your fashion work, whatever. Recently, I saw you on Korea, which looked amazing.
Yeah.
I think it was Dior or Gucci.
Gucci, sorry. Yeah.
What did you pick up recently within the cultural sphere, be it music or movie or fashion or design, whatever, that you're like, wow, that's cool, that's new, that's something that caught your attention?
As I told you, like, I'm only really touring from last year, so it's been only like
could also be any of your traveling,
I'm so fortunate that I get to do so, because I think this is, travel is the way you learn the most about life, really, about people, about their way of living, replace you, you know, it humbles you a lot of time. Like, it's my favorite thing in the world is to travel and to meet, you know, different people, people who don't think like me and everything. Korea was definitely, I mean, also I get to experience and on such a level that, you know, like when you are lucky enough to be invited, but it doesn't happen that often to me. Like, I think people have this fantasy of me, like being the fashion girl doing everything, but I do much less than I used to when I was working fully in fashion. And when I do, I try to, you know, pick the meaningful thing, like the relationship I have, like that kind of stuff. But yeah, when you get to travel with Gucci to sell and, you know, experience a show produced by Alex Betak in a beautiful temple with the craziest sound design and everything. Like me, I'm extremely sensitive to experience more than the fashion or more than the club. Or I like an ambience. I think we share that also together. And yeah, I think just to be able to see so many people work together towards a goal, because you can never do anything alone. That's meaningful
for sure.
Enough, I think, you know. It's it's what inspired me the most. So, you know, I'm very lucky that I played in Brazil this year, in Mexico, in Japan, in Korea. Like, I experienced so many different people, and they all party in a different
way. Yeah.
Like we talked about Japan, like it's so different. What you play there is like super, it has to be so niche, and, you know, like they want precision. They want, which is super challenging and super interesting, you know. So in Seoul, I played in that techno club, and I played super much more intense than I usually do, but I felt that's what people wanted. So just to experience life like this, I think, is just it's the biggest gift that you get as a DJ, and to try to make something happen with those people that, you mean, sometimes you have no idea. You know, I played in Lithuania like a month ago, and I mean, I'm not sure I would have been to Lithuania, like, you know, by myself or with my friends, except if, you know, like I have someone that lives there, or like there's an occasion or something. And like to be able to travel to places that, you know, you wouldn't maybe have been if you didn't have
for vacation.
Yeah, for a vacation or like for work, or I don't know. I mean, it's the thing I'm the most grateful for. So, you know, like everyone is like super, I think, negative about the future or whatever, but I like the youth. I think they're so awake and they know so many things, and they grew up with the internet and they're so on it. Like, I mean, not that I'm not young, but but the
young, you're a digital native, right?
I'm almost a digital. Yeah, I grew up with the internet too. That's why also I think I'm so comfortable with Instagram and all those stuff. For me, it's not even a headache, you know?
For me, it's a headache. I'm so bad at it.
For a lot of people, also people my age, you know, like everyone. But when you like to share things, for me, it's like the way I like to share music is the way I like to share maybe some books or whatever face mask I found, or, you know, like it's just, I like to share things. And I think it's just a core a bit of who I am. So yeah, it comes a bit naturally. Yeah,
we love sharing here. That's why we do this podcast.
Yes.
Sharing the access.
Talking too
sharing
much.
The access. We're sharing the access. When you're not traveling, you're here in your beautiful apartment in Paris, which is so beautiful. I'm so
thank
jealous.
You. Don't be. You can stay when I'm not here.
And Tom's punishment. Tom's punishment.
When we
bed.
Fight.
Exactly. When you host a beautiful dinner party, yeah?
Yeah.
What do you play when you have one drink? What do you play when you have five drinks?
Oh my God. So we actually love to invite people over. Actually, I don't DJ vinyl yet, because for also some reason, traveling is a nightmare. People do it so well. Like, I don't need to add myself to this, train. But we love to, we only play vinyl when we invite people over. So we have, I think, a selection. Like, we always play the Moga Disco. I don't know if you know, I don't want to say the wrong thing, but it's a label. And they re-release, like, they do release of music, mostly for, like, Africa, from Nigeria, from Ghana, like, a lot of beautiful. And we bought a lot from this label. So we played that a lot. I can show you a bit after, like, the record, a bit of that. And then, because I often also have, like, DJ friends here. So we end up playing, actually. So I think...
How does it work with the neighbors? I'm curious.
But so, I mean, super sad, but my neighbors in front of me are like quite old and they don't hear so much. And, so it's fine for them.
In other words, it's great.
And under us, I mean, there's one, because the apartment is like, there's two apartments a bit behind our apartment. One is a little bit annoying and the other ones are like students and they always do parties as well. So they understand. So they let us. So it's kind of okay. And also, I'm not here all the time. So it doesn't happen every week, you know. So when it happens, I guess, you know, for now the police didn't come yet. So, you know,
only in Berlin.
But I'm sure it will at one point. Yeah, definitely. Yes.
So wait, what track should we play? Just give me a track.
What track should we play? We should play... this one is so good. So this is... Yeah, we always play that when we have...
Somalia.
This one is amazing. It's Analog Africa's Dur Dur.
Oh, I love Dur Dur.
You know?
Yeah.
And yeah, there's two of them actually. And we can play which one we always play. Once again, I don't want to butcher the name. But we can play Jaslyn Mira Bis. Yeah, no, this one is amazing.
We'll put it on in a minute.
Yes. This is the first drink, the vibes. When people arrive,
exactly.
Little incense, is a little Analog Africa.
Yeah, I love that when I arrived, you put some incense on. It's such a nice touch.
Yeah.
That's your Japanese background. There you go.
Do you want to see my my drawer?
Let's do it.
You're not ready for this. So, because of course, you know, I used to go every year.
Yeah.
And during COVID, so you cannot see very well, but look, I bought the whole thing because I was so scared. Look at this.
Oh, wow.
I have the whole collection.
Oh, wow. Kyoto.
Yeah, so this is my favorite brand of incense. If we want to do a shout out.
Oh, my
so,
God, no, there's
no,
more.
No, there's a
there's
lot.
A whole rainbow of colors.
Yeah, so I was so scared because during COVID, I had a shortage of incense. And this is... the best incense is my favorite. It has so many flavors. I love it so much.
Nishi Honganji Horikawadori Shimogyo Ku Kyoto. Since
this address.
1594.
Yes,
1594.
It was like the Emperor incense, like brand. Like,
wow.
It's crazy.
Oh, it's
and
beautiful.
The shop,
the
if you ever go, if you're lucky enough to go in Kyoto, beautiful city. So the brand is Kungyo Kuro. Kungyo Kuro. Yeah, they have an amazing store. You can shop everything and... well, it's my favorite incense brand, so it's very important to me.
Right.
So I bought the whole store, basically. I bought every perfume they had. I was like, in case there's a new pandemic, I need my...
we have incense.
I need
we're not going to run out. Well, to go slightly more intimate, what's your go-to falling in love or heartbreak song?
Oh, my God. What's my heartbreak song? Okay, let me see.
Obviously, it's been a while.
I mean, I'm still in love all the time, but heartbreak, I never really, little ones, but I'm the one breaking. I'm like, so I should ask my exes.
Let's call them.
But no, but with Tom, it's so we have so many good ones. Oh, there's one in Greece, but it's just so personal. But
yes,
I'm happy to get personal.
Intimate moment.
For me, I associate songs with moments mm-hmm. all the time. And we have a lot of different super romantic or not moment. Like there's also like this
five
reggaeton
moments.
Song. No, but because my boyfriend is half Colombian yeah. and there's, you know, like a rainbow of different type of song that we listen to in the morning. We listen to some reggae sometimes. It's like a prayer song that is amazing. And
we have to play that.
Yes.
We'll play it in a minute. We'll
Yeah. I will figure out later. Mm-hmm. But oh my God, it's so hard. Sometimes it's hard to find the thing, right?
Or it could be a heartbreak. Maybe it's a sad song.
Maybe it's a sad song. Okay, so of course, I've Been Loving You Too Long. Otis Redding, I think, is the one that I listen to a lot.
I've been loving you too long to stop now. And you want to be free. My love is growing stronger as you become a habit to me. Ooh, I'm loving you too long. I don't want to stop now. You, my life has been so wonderful. I can't stop now.
This is all my love. So actually, I have a playlist full of it. So if you want,
oh yeah,
but
is
I
it
love
public?
It.
Is
it still public? I made it. Oh. I don't think it is anymore. But this is something I posted probably like 5 years ago or something. Yeah. But there's so many, I mean, Frank Ocean, Self-Control.
I'll be the boyfriend in your wet dreams tonight. Noses on a rail, little virgin wears the white. You cut your hair, but you used to live a blinded life. Wish I was there. Wish we'd grown up on the same advice. And our time was right. Keep a place for me. For me. I'll sleep between y'all. There's nothing. There's nothing. There's nothing. Keep a place for me. Now and then you miss it. Sounds make you cry. Some nights you dance with tears in your eyes. I came to visit, 'cause you see me like a UFO. That's like never. Self-control, and you made me lose my self-control, my self-control.
Season 22, Summer Walker.
Threw away your love letters. I thought it'd make me feel better. I finally got you out my bed. But I still can't get you out my head. Ooh, I'm sending you one text at a time. I know you by your phone, so boy, pick up your line. And I ain't too proud to beg. So what's been said has been said. And I need you to know. You don't know what love is, and I need you to know.
Shadi, why can't we live together? Like, I have
good one.
Heartbreak. I had a heartbreak, but you know. So,
but sometimes we have that mood, regardless.
Yeah, we have Shadi, we have Otis Redding, yeah. We have, you know, the good ones.
And when you're in a very sexy mood, what's the sexiest song?
I mean, right now it has been a lot of Beyoncé.
Oh.
Yeah, because the new album, like I've been to a concert, of course, I was mesmerized by the level of just everything Beyoncé. You know, like the production is crazy, her outfit are insane. The visuals, her, like it's the voice, like it's just, I think over time, like it's just the greatest artist living that can performer, you know, like I don't like all of her music, but then I got super into, and there's some super like, you know, like moody, sexy song. And I love Virgo's groove because I'm a Virgo.
Oh.
And I think it's like the sexiest song of her album. I really like it. So this one is a good one, I think.
Well, to wrap up our little chat,
yes.
If your life would be a movie, what song would play in the end credits?
In the end?
And the credits.
And the credits.
Yeah, like when a movie is like ending. The Fiona Zanetti Netflix documentary.
I mean, I gotta live a little bit more years. Because I don't, it's gonna be, you know, like a short movie. Short for now.
A YouTube short clip.
Oh, this is
TikTok. TikTok clip.
A TikTok movie. Oh my God. Oh, I know. Round and Round, New Order, Kevin Sanderson remix.
Gonna play it tomorrow.
Yes. It's a while, but it's good. Thanks. I mean, New Order,
Kevin, honestly can't go wrong.
This is the one.
Okay. Well, Fiona, thank you so much for being on air with us.
Thank you for having me.
Yes.
It felt more like a chat than
that's what we do. We're chatting here on your sofa with a rosé in our hand. And you know what? It's so bright and beautiful in your apartment. When I see those images on Instagram, it also looks so moody. Like, you make it look so moody.
It's, I mean,
so
bright, it's super
and white.
Bright. Yeah. Yes, it is. Yeah. Definitely. But thank you so much for having me,
thank you, dear
Armand.
Yeah.
I'm so looking forward to see everything you do in the future as well. And I'm so grateful. Thank you.
Thank you. for tuning in this week. If you want to listen to the full playlist, visit areweonair.com or our Spotify channel. You can also find us on Instagram and on YouTube at areweonair. And a big thank you to my wonderful team at Studio Noi. I'm Armand Lafay, and I'll speak to you soon.